Hello, and welcome to The Staffing Show, the only podcast that delivers tools, tips, and tactics from the staffing and recruiting industry's top executives and thought leaders.
This episode is brought to you by Bullhorn, a leading software provider for healthcare staffing firms. In a challenging market, Bullhorn Healthcare offers the tools you need to drive recruiter productivity and beat the competition. Cut time to submit in half and win more business with VMS automation. Accelerate start times by 65% and reduce costs with simplified credential management. Develop stronger relationships with automation tools that manage busy work while you provide the human touch. And double redeployment with a talent-centric experience that grows provider loyalty. To learn more about Bullhorn's healthcare solutions, including VMS automation, credentialing, streamlined pay and bill, business intelligence, and more, visit bullhorn.com/healthcare.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Staffing Show. Today, I am super excited to be joined by Chris Johnson, who's the Chief Sales Officer of CrossMed. Chris, thanks so much for joining today. Excited to have a conversation.
Yes, absolutely, David. Thank you for having me. I'm excited as well.
Yeah. So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about CrossMed? And then also, I'd love to hear kind of your story and your journey into staffing.
Yeah. So CrossMed has been around for a number of years. I think we actually launched in 2019. And I think we just kind of had some trouble getting legs underneath us at first. Not an easy business to get started in right away. And so our investors brought on Bridget Weber, who's our CEO, in 2020. And then a couple months later, she brought me on as well. So Bridget and I really, when we met, we shared the same passion and drive and desire to build something that we believe could be very special, with the focus on the people and to give back an opportunity that has been provided to both of us kind of growing up in this industry. So I started at Medical Solutions in 2008. So I had some amazing mentors there, people that are still very important to me and in my life today. Just got to a point where I think it was one of those deals where when you find someone like Bridget that you align with and you can take this leap of faith and say, hey, let's go bet on ourselves and see if we can do this. That's exactly what we did. I'll never forget the first day I started at CrossMed. We were in this tiny, tiny office. And I mean, I was so excited to be there. I felt like I was home, but I looked at Bridget and I'm like, how the heck are we going to do this? So we just started plugging away, man. We just started, you start out day by day. And next thing you know, obviously, a couple months after we had started, the pandemic hit and we thought we were amazing. I mean, we were convinced that we were the best, right? And then the post-pandemic hit and then we were convinced we were the worst. So it's been quite the journey. It's been incredibly humbling, but you know, I'm glad I didn't start this with hair because...
Well, your beard's looking, there's not too much gray in it that I can see. So maybe some stuff for men going on now. I mean, that's a fun story to hear about. And it's also, I feel like what you guys have built in the years that you've been doing it through some challenge time has been a really impressive brand. I know you've won some awards for, I think you had an award from Clearly Rated, and you guys are well respected in the industry. Could you tell me a little bit about, and I know you have kind of your finger on the pulse of what's happening in healthcare staffing, and you also have the background behind that. But from your perspective, what's going on in healthcare staffing today?
That's a loaded question. I wish I had the answer, right? I think from my perspective is we're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure out in healthcare staffing what normal is going to look like going forward. You know, I talk with so many people and I don't think anybody is truly trying to figure out what normal is. We're trying to figure out what consistency looks like, right? So what are the expectations daily? Do the KPIs that our teams meet every day and exceed every day, is that going to be consistently turning out the production that all of us are looking for, right? I don't think anybody wants the floodgates to open up again, because we know there's the opposite side of those floodgates, which is kind of what we've been battling over the last year. So I think we're getting there. I think, you know, we're not back by any stretch of imagination, but I do see a little light at the end of the tunnel. I am seeing over the last month, month and a half, some consistency happening with what we're asking all of us to do internally here and seeing those KPIs turn into consistent output, right? So I think we're getting there. I just think it's a lot slower than any of us anticipated. And I think there's going to be, I don't think this will ever look the same going forward. I think it's going to be quite a bit different from a staffing perspective, and with technology and post pandemic and all the eyes that are on this industry, I get it. It's, you know, the pandemic put a spotlight on us. And so now we've got to adapt and change and understand what this is going to look like going forward.
Yeah. And I think in the last, from my perspective and from, you know, it's like since January of last year, things have shifted quite a bit. And it seems that, you know, healthcare staffing this year is maybe having a bumpy road and kind of regressing back to the mean and getting back to where it was pre-COVID. And I know that for a lot of agencies, you know, it's been challenging. There's been some layoffs, and I think there's more optimism right now. You're the doctor handful of people in the last week who have said that they're seeing things in healthcare staffing maybe return, look like they're returning to more of a stable spot, which is exciting. Going through all of this, like, what are some of the ways that you've led the team or things that you've seen from your team asking from you as you're going through some of these areas?
Yeah, I would agree with you. To take a step back here, you know, the last year has been incredibly challenging and has put us in a position and forced us to make decisions that, to be quite honest with you, and maybe not everybody feels this way, but they've been gut-wrenching, something that nobody ever wants to go through, that's not a desirable position to be in. Unfortunately, it was unnecessary over the last year. I was thinking about this the other day, and I truly believe this. What I've noticed is that what was in the past, what was recognized as maybe micromanagement is now considered welcomed help. And we're certainly not micromanagers here, but we have all embraced all hands on deck. And so majority of the time, every leader we have here is out. We're not tucked away in offices. There's nothing that we can do here that's going to have an impact on anybody else, right? So we're going to be on that floor. I think the way that we see it is, look, we have a level of experience. We have years of experience. We've seen and experienced a lot. And so how can we go to battle with everybody? And it's not your typical, I just want to make sure you're working. It's, I want to be available to try to help. A lot of the things that we used to do in this industry in the past are all of the fun things that we do. I mean, you got to keep that stuff, but that's not necessarily what people are looking for right now. People are genuinely looking to grow, right? They're looking to increase their opportunity and capitalize on that opportunity. And so, again, I think what was once recognized as micromanagement and, hey, I don't want the kind of that chubby bald guy walking around here anymore is now saying like, hey, help me grow my desk. And so that's been really interesting. We are incredibly blessed with some incredibly dynamic leaders, very, very, very strong leaders in this company that care. So in the last 4 years of CrossMed, I obviously have done an insane amount of interviews. And one thing that pains me the most is to interview somebody and get into the dialogue about like, okay, so what is your leader? What is your manager doing to help you? And I think too many leaders are hands off. I think too many leaders get into that role and kick their feet up a little bit, right? That's not who we are. It's not who we will ever be. That's the difference between, in my opinion, a manager and a true, genuine leader. A leader is going to sacrifice. They're going to be available. They're going to do whatever it takes to help every individual on their team succeed. And so we are very blessed in that we are not perfect by any means. In fact, there's a lot of times, David, I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be very honest with you. I think I'm helping and I'm pretty sure I'm getting in the way. So
yeah,
finding the balance.
I know that feeling.
of saying like, man, you know what? You just need to let everybody else, we hired them because they're incredible. So let them be incredible and get the heck out of their way. Finding that balance has been challenging because I enjoy it. The reality is I haven't done it in a while. So I've got to rely on the people that are have their hand or their finger on the pulse daily and allow them to do their thing.
Yeah. And I think that the leadership styles, I've experienced this myself, but it feels like it's shifted and made me realize how much more dynamic we have to be during periods like this. And you understand that when things are a little bit more challenging, you do have to make some adjustments to how you're approaching things. Do you have any specific examples of, and when you say micromanaging, what does that mean in terms of how you're engaging with or interacting with the team?
Yeah. So I think just being a presence on the floor, right? Not just the sales floor, but the operations floor as well, compliance, payroll, just being a resource to everybody. I think it's easy to get tucked into your office and to stick on your computer and just focus on running reports. Well, the reports don't do anything right now. They're really not that beneficial, right? I mean, numbers tell a story for sure. So made a point of it, just set up shop out there and just let them know I'm not trying to stalk anybody or to confirm whether you are or are not working. I'm here to be a resource and to help wherever I possibly can. And the same holds true today. If I don't have the answer, which there's a good chance that I don't, but I can help put you in a position to find the answer so that we can move forward.
Yep.
I think it's just showing them that we genuinely, we're in this together. It's not from a top down. I mean, we are all in this together. We're going to learn from each other.
I think that's really great, and like approaching it from a kind of a collaborative mindset. And as some of these challenging times, are there any lessons learned around, one, things that you're doing to either kind of keep morale up or keep everybody engaged? And also, I noticed you mentioned the KPI side of it, and that you're starting to get to back to a spot where the KPIs are driving the results you expect. Are there any things on that front that you're like, hey, these are any lessons you can share with the audience?
I think we got into a bad habit over the years of only celebrating production. And we still do. We celebrate. So for us, a contract signed comes in. They have walk-up music that automatically kicks onto our TV. And they hit the gong. And a lot of people are like, man, I don't want all eyes on me. And I'm like, it's not about you. It's to signify to the rest of the company that positivity just happened. And it gets people excited, right? So when they hit that gong and their music is playing, the whole floor stands up and claps. It's actually pretty amazing. I think what I've learned over the last year is, man, there are so many small victories along the way that also need to be celebrated. How do we help everybody understand that they may not have scored touchdowns today, but every first down mattered. Every first down is leading them. It may not come today. It may not come tomorrow, but it is going to come. If we continue to stack up the wins, good things will happen, right? But I think over the last year, I don't know if it was panic or you're just like, man, what the heck is going on? We knew the pandemic was not real, right? However, what the heck is, we have people that are giving their blood, sweat, and tears to us, and they're working their tails off and just not getting a lot from it. That's a very challenging spot to be. And I think that's where true leadership shows up. And I will be honest with you, I think we showed up at times and we fell short at times. And so we're really putting an emphasis on, it's very easy to be a great recruiter, client manager, leader, whatever it is. When times are good, it's super easy to be great at your role. When times are challenging, times are tough, times are down, that's when true leadership shows up. And that's been a challenge. That's going into it, right? That's always a great saying. It's a perfect saying. It's coach talk, right? It's coach speak. But when you experience it, then you really can reflect and say, man, did I have a positive impact on people today or did I fall short? And what I realized was I'm not going to be perfect. Us as leaders are not going to be perfect, but man, I've got to win more than I lose. I've got to be able to go home at night and say that today I had a positive impact. If I go home at night and say I airballed it today, that's a problem for everybody.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're doing a lot of, one, very clear that you have humility and transparency as part of how you're communicating as a leader. But it also sounds like there's a component of reflection where you're actually thinking back on a daily basis of like what went well, what didn't. Are you guys doing any of that formally with the team, or is that just part of how you show up as a leader?
Look, I think it's how you show up as a leader. I believe in leading through humility, especially when there's a lot to be humble about in my career. So it's understanding that, man, I've had a lot of success, but that came from learning and bumping my nose the hard way. How do I share that? How do I become that person that's like, man, I have struggled and been through exactly what you're going through. And here's what I did to overcome it, but we're going to do this together. Just this is how I overcame it, right? This is not necessarily how you're going to do. We've got to figure out what makes you special. We got to get you in that lane and then go 100 miles an hour. That's the definition of every leader we have here. You look at Andrea Schultz, our CFO. Yeah. She's incredible. She might be the smartest person I've ever met. In fact, 90% of the time, I think she's speaking in a different language and probably one of the most humble human beings you're ever going to meet. Sarah Orr is our chief marketing officer. And the same goes there. We have so many amazing pieces. The list goes on. Tom and Penny are directors, and Ashley and Sean and Cece and Alyssa and Bridget. We have such knowledge and passion and swagger and confidence, but there is a layer of humility that is very real. And I think it's a blessing for us to say that we've all been there and done it, right? And it's allowing people to make mistakes and to encourage them to make those mistakes, because that's how we're going to learn. When you just ridicule on mistakes and you just hold people's feet to the fire, boy, you better be perfect. And we are far from it. So,
yep. Yeah. And I feel like the one thing I've seen across all of the customers we work with and everybody I talk to is people are working harder than they've ever worked in many instances and not seeing the same results that they've seen in the past. I think in healthcare staffing, travel nursing specifically, what I've heard is anywhere from submission rates where I think I had heard it, like pandemic levels, like 1 out of 2. Placement. And now it's like 1 out of 4, one out of 8, somewhere in that range. So like just literally the pure effort to get a placement has changed pretty drastically.
I agree with that. I think you nailed it. I will tell you this, when we recover, when we come out of this, the skill set that every individual in this company has learned over the last year is insane compared to what they learned through the pandemic. There was not a lot of skills being learned or taught during the pandemic. There just wasn't, right? So it's going to be one of those things I truly believe that we're going to look back 5-6 years from now and say, man, we made it through this, but look at how much skill we learned and we developed through the toughest time, because that's when you really have to hone in, understand, and perfect your craft. There was no perfecting of any crafts during the pandemic. It was bullets flying, chaos, it was insane. And don't get me wrong, it was necessary, right? But post-pandemic is where I think we've really developed as leaders of a company, right? Structure, accountability. What's going to make CrossMed successful long-term? What's that sustainable success look like? What does the structure look like that's going to allow us to be successful, not just for the next couple of months, but for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? We never took time during the pandemic to sit down and discuss that. It was just chaos, right? So it's not just a recruiter, a client manager. It's us as the execs of the company, leaders of the company that have learned so much through this and have become so much more well-rounded because of it. It's just hard to see it when you're still in the weed.
Yeah. And as you're talking about that, one of the things that you and I had briefly talked about was like some of the things that you've done to make sure you're connecting with each individual. And I think you had even talked about just as a team level. So you're talking about the high level strategy, but you had said that you walked around and connecting with people on every day to make sure you're actually like seeing where people are at as well.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit more about that?
I'm not a great remote employee, right? Especially in a leadership. I need to be hands-on. I'll never forget when we all had to go remote because of the pandemic. I just thought to myself, I would Zoom somebody or team somebody on my team, and they could be whoever they needed to be for the 5 to 10 minutes that I had them on the video. But as soon as they hung up that Zoom call, I didn't know if they were just, if that was real or if there was something else going on, good, bad, or indifferent, right? And so that's what we are all about. Not just me, it's what we are all about. We are very hands-on. If you're having a bad day, I truly believe this, especially in a sales role, if your confidence is shot, the worst thing that you can do is pick up that phone, right? And so if your confidence is shot, if you're down in the dumps, if something is going on, whether it's personal, professional, man, get your butt in here and let's talk about it. Let's have a puke session, get it all out so that we can get back to doing what we know makes us special. And so walking that floor, understanding what is it, how are you structuring your day? Is there rhyme and reason with everything that you do? Are you relentless in everything that you do? Is your follow-up where it needs to be? If you're telling a healthcare professional that you're going to do this, did you follow through with it? How do you track that? How do you organize your day? It is all the little things, right? We don't hire people that don't know what the heck they're doing. They're incredibly engaging people. They create insane value. So are we actually creating that value over the phone? Are we getting stuck in technology? Are we relying on technology to communicate and to do business, or are we picking up that phone and building relationships, right? And so I think it's just taking the whole process from A to Z and making sure people truly understand where their value is and how they structure their day. It's the little things that we need to make sure are very, very clean. When all the little things are clean, then we have something to build on.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I'm going to jump back to the comics. I could have leaped there a little bit, but you were also talking about how you've been sitting down, talking about kind of the longer term 5 to 10 year plan. What are some of the adjustments that CrossMed has made strategically to make sure that you're setting yourself up for the future?
I think we're incredibly proud of how we as a smaller company, I mean, we've only been in business for, a handful of years.
Yeah.
We have embraced technology. That is the wave, right? And so we're going to double down on technology. We're going to make sure that everything that our people do internally, that they can be as efficient, as effective as they possibly can. I think for me, it's in this industry in the past, we all just kind of got away with it at times. And it wasn't a bad thing at all, but you hire someone to do a role and they end up doing 6 different roles, right? And so can we allow people to do what we hired them to do? What we believe their lane is, where they're special, where their strengths are at, how do we keep them in that lane and not have them venture off into 17 different things? And we can help limit that through technology. And so I think that when we talk about the future, right, we're going to invest in our people. There's no doubt. We are nothing without our people, right? We're just a brick and mortar. But it's the technology piece that's going to help us continue to evolve. I think for CrossMed, we don't have to lead the industry in technology. We just have to be on the forefront. Bullhorn allows us access to be in the forefront of technology. It gives us opportunities to meet people like yourself and companies like Staffing Referral, Staffing Engine, Opus Match, all of these, Bullhorn One, all of these different, these technology, our tech stack that's going to help us in every division of the company, not just your sales division, but it's going to help every single division that we have. And it all is going to make sense. And we're going to eliminate some of the things that are just a time suck. And we're going to put that through technology and allow people to stay in their lane and go hard.
It does feel like, I mean, you guys have been customers of Staffing Referrals for a while, and I know you've been adopting new technology. Kind of, in, it looks like you guys are really focused on candidate experience and trying to figure out how to just increase overall productivity and allow the recruiters to focus on building relationships and looking at automating the things that aren't tied to that. Or have you seen any, are there any specific outcomes or things that you're super excited about right now from a technology standpoint?
Yeah, I think obviously Staffing Referrals has been awesome for us. It's crazy to me. You know, we used to, back in the day, right? When nobody wants to, when I had sweet hair and earrings. And
I got to find a picture of you with sweet hair. I need to know what this looks like.
So I think it was like, we were trying to teach each other how to have confidence enough to ask for a referral.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that like very simple stuff. You guys have created a technology that asks for our people, right? That really helps streamline everything. And there's no forgetting to do this. There's no forgetting to make sure it gets paid out. And so you guys have done an incredible job of that. Staffing Engine has come in and helped us clean up some stuff. And now Opus Match, I think it plays very well with what you guys do in Staffing Engine and Bullhorn. And it's that AI technology that everybody is, we all keep talking about. I think some people fear it, and we're not going to be fearful of it. We're going to embrace it. We're going to figure out, I mean, it's going to change some things, right? And for years, nothing has been black and white in this industry. Nothing. Very, very little is black and white. And so we're not going to hesitate. We're going to embrace it. We're going to figure out how we can increase the volume of travelers per recruiter, per client manager, make compliance's life a lot easier and have everything flow so that our accounting team is not having to manual enter everything that they do. That a lot of this stuff is pulled from them so that they can do what they're special at. And that's helping mitigate risk. It's helping on the operations side of things. It's everything plays together, but we need that technology to help all of this make sense. Bridget Weber and Cece and Sarah, I mean, all the credit goes to the three of them. The vision that they have, it makes sense to them. A lot of times, again, I want to know how it's going to help our people become more efficient, but how we're going to get there, like, again, a lot of it's Greek to me. It sounds
yeah.
They're true visionaries when it comes to technology. Bridget has been a super user for Bullhorn for years. Now Cece is speaking at Bullhorn Engage. Sarah is a CMO. But that's just a fraction of what that woman does. She is incredible with technology and operations and understanding how to make it all come together as well.
Yeah, that's really great. And it's, I think we, from our perspective, and obviously we're probably biased, but the early adoption does pay dividends in the long run in terms of scalability. One of the other areas, and I know we're kind of jumping from leadership, we talk a little bit about tech stack, but
sure.
I know strategically, I think you guys have done a couple different things that we talked about previous to this. I think there's a locums division, combining of some divisions. I would love to know more about kind of the thought process and what's going on with the combination of some of the divisions and also going into the locums vertical.
So nursing was our bread and butter. We knew that was going to be the foundation of how we built everything at CrossMed. It's where a lot of our experience lay, right? And so that's how we started this. We also, Bridget Weber, our CEO, has also started and developed two very successful cath lab divisions. So we knew we wanted to diversify as a company. We wanted to be able to go to our partners and say, we can help you in a number of different areas. When you're looking at a new company, right? A smaller company, new company, what's our differentiating value? We ask that almost 17 times a week, and we're not done defining what our differentiating value is. But we have all agreed and we've embraced the fact that we need to be able to staff and to help in multiple verticals. And so we've got the long-term care, which they do an incredible job. We've got our nursing that does a heck of a job. We've got Allied, which are cath lab and Allied's all together, right? And then we made a decision. It was probably the end of Q3 last year. So going into Q4 that we really wanted to launch a locums division. We believe we can do it. It's not an easy lift. It's a big lift. It's a very interesting space, but it's been a crazy experience for the last 6 to 8 months. And what our locums guys have done has been very special. And we're just scratching the surface, right? So continuing to look at again, how do we diversify our company to make sure that we are checking the boxes of our partners, the people that are going to count on us to help them? And then what's going to benefit CrossMed? How do we become a player in this industry when the world of MSP and BMS has really taken over a lot of the industry? What are different ways that we can create value for healthcare staffing? And so excited about the locum space. I think there's a ton of opportunity there, and we're just scratching the surface of what we can do.
Yeah. And in terms of creating value in additional ways, are you guys, do you have a roadmap for that? Are you also thinking about, I mean, it sounds like locums is another way to create value, but are there any other activities or, from my perspective, I just call it product features that you guys are rolling out from a healthcare staff perspective?
Yeah. I think we have a list of 50, right? I think
which one?
Right. That is which one. And right now we've got to be very laser focused on what we do and becoming very good at what we do. I think it's very, very easy to get stretched thin. It's very easy to see all of these new shiny objects that are legit. They create massive opportunity. But like you had mentioned earlier in the conversation, David, it's been a challenging year. So right now, we are going to become extremely good at what we're doing right now before we do anything else. The only thing that we added on was more technology, right? We really, and you and I had talked about this earlier, we just partnered with Opus Match. We talked about how you guys integrate with them. I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for CrossMed as far as continuing to diversify, and we're going to hang tight with what we have for the time being.
Awesome. That makes sense. Kind of shifting gears to more of the personal side of this, what are some of the things that motivate you to keep pushing forward and kind of on a professional and personal level? Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not to get crazy on you here, but I grew up playing sports, right? And I loved it. There's not a huge demand out there for short, chubby, slow point guards in the world. And so what I had to do to have any success is I had to be relentless in work ethic. I had to not give up. I had to be as resilient as I could possibly be and put the time in, study the game, study coaching, study players. And so I've just taken the whole mentality that I had growing up playing sports and put that into healthcare staffing. And I realized quickly when I was a recruiter back in the day that, man, this is amazing. But I have such a passion and drive and desire to coach. If I could coach, if Duke were to call me today and give me the head coaching job, it'd be a tough thing to turn down. So I think this was an opportunity for me to say, like, look, I'm going to put all my eggs into this basket. And I love this industry. Yeah. I love the challenges of this industry. It rewards work ethic. It rewards discipline and consistency. That was huge for me, right? I get to control that. And so working all those years at Medical Solutions was an unbelievable experience. But I had hit a point where I'm like, I can do more. I can do more. I'm ready to do more. I'm ready to take on more. And so we took that leap of faith. Right now, it's hard to think about 5 to 10 years from now. It's really challenging to understand what this is going to look like. So we're going to go back to the basics, and we're going to be relentless in everything we do every day. And that's what I love. I love that challenge. I love seeing the results of the relentlessness pay off. And we're starting to get back there. So there's so many exciting things to look at big picture wise in future. But I really like to stay in today. Like, did we capitalize on today? Because if we start looking so far down the road and we're not capitalizing on every day, that's just a great conversation piece, but that becomes something we talk about in theory. It's not reality.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you how many leaders in healthcare staffing and staffing as a whole in the last year have said back to the basics. Got to get back to being good at phone calls, being good at relationship building, going back to what actually got us here, not what made money during the pandemic days. So
I think there's a challenge too, right? You work your way to get this sweet title that means absolutely nothing to anybody inside this building, right? It's not just asking everybody else to go back to the basics. It's sitting in my office and having some time to myself and saying, what is the impact that I can have today? Nobody cares about the title. Nobody cares. What they care about is, are we moving the needle every day? So it's a challenge that I have for myself every day too, right? It's just, did I have a positive impact on our company and the individuals that give us everything they have every day? If I can't say that, then I'm falling short. Again, I can sit here and there's all of these reports and these numbers and these spreadsheets and analytics and all of these things that are amazing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything if we don't have that impact on people and give them the desire to want to keep doing this day in and day out.
I absolutely love that. We're going to go into the last round of questions, kind of the speed round. What advice do you wish you were given before entering the staffing industry?
Let the things that are outside of your control, let them go. right? Let them go. We don't work with a product. We're not slinging a product. We work with people. And some of that is just amazing. It's awesome. The relationships, I still keep in touch with some of the travelers that I had a long time ago. However, there are some things in this industry that are completely out of your control. And if you let those eat you alive, they absolutely will. And it did. For my first couple of years, I couldn't get over it, right? What changed a lot for me was just embracing who I needed to be every day in order to have success. I mean, that's a really hard thing to articulate. We even try in interviews, right? And then we'll have people come to us 2 or 3 months later and they're like, it finally makes sense, because I'm not going to lie, I wanted to slam my computer on the ground. And I'm like, it's out of your control, right? There's nothing. We can talk about this till we're blue in the face. It's not going to change. And so we just have to move on. And that's a very challenging thing, especially when you're talking to quote unquote salespeople. They want to have as much control over the process that they possibly can. And they have very, very little control. There's so many hands in the pot. You have to, as an individual, say, did I do everything I possibly could to be successful? And if the answer is yes, then good, I get to move on. If the answer is no, let's learn from it. And then you still got to move on.
Yeah, I love that. In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I would say discipline. I think that discipline and consistency, if you can own those two pieces, and I thought I was disciplined, I thought I was consistent until I started at CrossMed. And then I think you fall into a trap again of looking back at your day and saying, man, I felt like I was really busy today. I don't know what the heck I did. Yeah. What did I actually do today? Right. So that's been a personal thing for me. And I believe it to be true for everybody that's in healthcare staffing. If you can truly embrace discipline and consistency, that can, you know, move mountains for you. And it's something that I work on every day. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I wish I was. But I think those are the two things that if we can stay disciplined, stay consistent, man, we can do some pretty special things.
Yeah, I feel like, I think it was Erica Heisen. She always said, she's like, sometimes I see people playing work where it's just you're busy, you're grinding, but are you doing the right things? That's are you disciplined on it? Are you working on the KPIs? And I still think about that all the time.
Yeah. There's a quote real quick, David, that this kind of rocked my world. I'll be quick, but it was Andy Frisella. I'm not sure if you listen to his podcast at all.
I don't.
It was years ago, but he said, motivation is a fleeting feeling, right? So that feeling of motivation, you better hang on to it and enjoy it, because it's going to be gone in a couple minutes. So when that feeling of motivation is gone, you have to develop the discipline to do the things you know you need to do when you don't want to do them. That to me is gold, right? And that's in my professional life and personal life as well.
Yeah, that's great. Last question I've got for you is, what book or books have you given most as a gift or have been most influential to you?
Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink is amazing.
I love that book. I love that. I've recommended that to so many people.
I think the entire world needs to read that book.
I completely agree. It might give you a little bit more anxiety at first, but it will make you a better human.
It absolutely will. I read it and then I read it immediately again because it just eliminates that victim mentality, right? And I fall victim of the victim mentality as well, right? It's kind of, you get kind of caught up in the woe is me.
Yeah.
I mean, you read that book and you realize, man, oh my gosh, that book is, if anybody asks me what book to read, and it's a hands down, that's the number one book I'm going to recommend every single time. There's a lot of amazing books out there, a lot of great books out there, but that one rocked my world.
Yeah. Same here. Well, Chris, this has been an awesome conversation. Really enjoyed having you on. I appreciate it. And I hope you have a great day.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough, man. Really enjoyed it. And I appreciate you more than you know. So you guys have a great, great day as well. And we'll see you soon.
Talk soon. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for listening to The Staffing Show. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at staffinghub.com to never miss an episode. Until next time.